C+14. RMXT International Studio Number 1, Manchester, England. In Britain, where news of the comet had now had a full morning to spread and sink in, reports were already circulating regarding incidents of violence in supermarkets and banks as citizens desperately sought to stockpile cash and essential supplies before ATMs and shelves went empty. For several hours, John Cole's whereabouts had been unknown to the press and also to MPs, two groups who were champing at the bit to grill him over his bizarre early morning actions. GSC Chairman William Godfrey, a native Briton and Cole's former superior, issued a short written statement which urged calm and promised that he would give a more substantive response to the morning's distressing events once the continuing summit in Buenos Aires wrapped up for the day. The statement neither denied nor confirmed the veracity of the leaked threat, which was naturally taken as a tacit admission. RMXT's main British studio, located in the city of Manchester, was a hive of activity. Outside, many citizens had gathered at the huge window behind the backs of the news anchors in the main studio, like teenagers trying to sneak a peek at their favorite pop stars. Inside, guests from various disciplines and spheres of society had been coming and going all day to talk about various aspects of the shocking revelation. One of the highest-profile guests was Diane Logan, a well-respected politician who 1 year earlier had been cast aside and replaced by John Cole as Godfrey's deputy prime minister following her refusal to fall in line with Godfrey's opportunistic politicking over the IDA leak. Logan, who was in the city to officially open the redeveloped maternity wing of a hospital just a few miles from the studio, stopped by for a brief statesmanlike appearance during which she reminded everyone that nothing was confirmed at this point. Logan, in the midst of a bitter power struggle with Cole and his handful of loyal supporters within the party, didn't have to pretend to be unsure about the comet. She really didn't know. Of the hundreds of individuals around the world who did know that a giant comet really was on the way, none broke rank. The cat was out of the bag, for sure, but everyone with a brain still understood that coordinated disclosure would be preferable to a chaotic melee of sporadic admissions. After Diane Logan's brief appearance, a professor of criminology joined the anchors to offer his views on what could be expected if and when the comet's existence and apparently inevitable impact trajectory were confirmed. "Awareness of the future plays a key role in shaping human behavior," he said, "and although that sounds like the most obvious thing in the world, it's an important point to grasp here. If, for example, we take humans and chimpanzees, we'll find that one key difference lies in our consideration of the long-term consequences of both regular and one-off actions. Our past informs our present, and we broadly act with consideration of the future. We know that actions have consequences, good and bad, short-term and long, because if there is one thing we've always been sure of, it's that the future is coming. But now, if there's no future, what exactly is left to separate man from beast? And what kind of deterrent is a 10-year prison sentence in a world that expires in 9 months? The professor continued. And this is before we even consider the reality that many prison guards, police officers, court officials, and people in every other occupation may well stop turning up for work before long. Because what use is money when tomorrow's not coming? Midway through the professor's appearance, several security guards entered the newsroom and ordered everyone to evacuate due to growing disorder in the immediate area around the studio. Within a few hundred yards, two side-by-side ATMs had just run out of cash, and the bank they were outside had already closed its doors a few hours earlier to avoid an inundation of the very same desperate and impatient customers who were now trying to force their way in. The broadcast feed was cut, and the sudden influx of so many security guards alarmed the people standing on the other side of the huge window. "This is going to get seriously bad, seriously soon," the professor said as he was led to a secure exit. "It already is," a security guard replied. The professor blew air from his lips. "Trust me, this isn't even the prelude."